Amen. It says in Ephesians 6, from verse 10 to 12, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Fight the Good Fight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege, oh Father, to stand before your children. Holy Spirit, I say take over in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us have watched that movie War Room? If you haven't, you need to watch it. It's a movie that talks about the power of prayer. It talks about how the enemy, the devil, strategizes against you and I. And he's got strategies to pull you down, to pull me down. He's been studying my family bloodline from the start. He knows things that run in my family line. He knows the weaknesses. He knows the strengths. And he has done the same in your life. So, you know, we as Christians, we are like that woman there. We are supposed to take charge of our prayer life. We are supposed to take charge of our lives and make a decision that we are going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, for example, soldiers in war, when they go to war, they go there with a strategy. They go there knowing that they are going to either protect. So if you think of what's happening in Syria, there's different people fighting in that region. And each army, each country has an agenda they want in that place. And it is the same as us. They do not go there unplanned, unprepared. So time for us to just sit back and hope things are going to work out, those days are over. We need to study how the enemy operates. And scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 11, that we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. It reads, now whom you forgive everything, anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven the one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This is the soldier in Christ that we are meant to be. We are not ignorant to what the devil does. Do you know how we stay ahead of him? We stay connected to the Holy Spirit. We stay connected and say, God, when you wake up in the morning, you ask him, you're like, God, what is it that you want me to do today? And you wait till you hear a word. And it might be a verse, it might be a phrase, it might be a song. I guarantee you, if you start your morning that way, by the time you put your head on your pillow, you will have had a good day. You know why? Because God would have given you a strategy. Some of us in here, we have family members that are not saved. And we've been praying for years saying, God, save my mother, save my father, save my husband, save my children. Some of us, our children are wayward. They've gone completely off the track. Some of us, we are praying for children. Some of us, we're praying for our studies. But have you asked God how to pray? You know, there's no point in me just taking an arrow and shooting that way, hoping I'll catch something. The hunters, when they go hunting, they have a strategy. They listen. They know how to read the tracks of the animals. That's the same way you and I have to be with our prayers. I can't just start blazing, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I hope you bless me, everything. Yes, that might work. But we need to be strategic in our prayers. So how are you dealing with the situation that you're in today? Are you using your natural reasoning? Are you praying the same way you prayed the last time you were in that situation? Are you praying the way she prayed because you've heard her pray? There's nothing wrong with praying the way she's praying, but we need to be led by the Spirit of God. So are you trying to solve it in the natural, or are you asking God for godly strategies on how to attack that situation that is before you? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it reads, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It says, fight the good fight of faith. What that tells me is there's going to be resistance. What that tells me is it's not going to be easy. What that tells me is I'm going to be bruised. What that tells me is the person I'm fighting is going to come prepared to fight me. But it says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You and I are going to win this fight. That's the end. We are going to win this fight. What we don't know is how we're going to win that fight. Like I said, the title of my message is Fight the Good Fight of Faith. So how do we fight the good fight of faith? The first thing we need to do, we need to hear God's word first about whatever situation is before us. If it's a doctor's report that's come before you, yes, that is the worldly report. That's the natural report. Take that report and say, God, this is what the doctors are saying, but I want to hear what you are saying. So last week, Pastor Mirella preached an amazing word about speaking to dry bones. She spoke about that when we speak the word of God in our lives, the first thing we do is we're speaking life and we're bringing things into alignment. The second thing we do when we speak the word is we're speaking into our destiny. The third thing we do is when we speak the word, we invite the Holy Spirit into that situation. And the fourth thing that happens is there is manifestation. For those that missed, that was last week's sermon. So it all comes down to the choices that you and I make. Are we choosing to follow these steps? Or are we just choosing to just pray anyhow we want and hoping for a good outcome? You know, in my life, I've experienced frustration in my prayer life. I've prayed certain prayers for years. And then one day, through the grace of God, I will go and say, God, I'm frustrated you're not answering me. And as clear as you guys can hear me, he'll say to me, but you haven't asked me what his will is for that situation. You know, the first time that happened to me, I just sat down. I'm like, oh. So it's not really about what I want. It's about me aligning with the plan and purpose of God in my life. I have a friend of mine. She was in, married this guy, and the marriage was really hard. She was really hard, and she had been crying for such a long time. And she's like, you know, talking to friends, we would pray with her. She would talk to people, she'd come for prayer. But she had actually never just sat down and asked God. One day she sat down. She said, God, my husband, my marriage is a mess. And I just want to live the marriage that I've dreamt of. And God gave her a strategy. God said to her, I want you to focus your thoughts on the word of God. So when he comes into the house, I don't want you to meditate on what he did to you yesterday. I want you to be meditating, thinking on good things about your husband the whole time. That was her strategy. Did her situation change straight away? No. The husband would still come home. He would still say things to her that would break her heart. But she made a decision to focus on the good. She started to speak the marriage that she wanted to see. She wanted to speak of her husband in the light that she wanted him to act. And within like a few weeks, her marriage had completely changed. Do you know why? Because she decided to line herself with the word of God. So when you and I, when we line ourselves with what God is saying in our lives, some of us now can say, oh, I don't know how to hear God. If you pick up the Bible and you read something that brings you joy, that brings you faith, that brings you hope, that is the word of God. That is God speaking into your life. And I want to assure you that if you are a born-again Christian, you will hear the voice of God. It might take training. It might get getting used to it. It says in his word that my sheep hear my voice. Just like a fish, when it's born in water, it just swims. It doesn't have to learn, oh, this is, I don't know if they do swimming school in the seas. I don't know. I don't think so. They just swim. And as simple and as easy and as natural as that is to a fish, that is how natural you and I hear the word of God. So what the devil has done, he's made it seem like it's this faraway things only for the holy, only for the pastors, only for the ministers. Do you know that some of the most profound words God has spoken to me have come from my kids? they would just say the right thing that I need to hear at that time. A few months ago, I was Noah, who's six now. We were at a game, and he was talking. This friend of his started saying, "I am the most powerful person in the world," and he was like flying. He's like, "I'm flying." He's like, "No, Jesus is the most powerful person in the world." I wanted to hide because I knew the family was not Christian, and the boy's like, "What?" It's like, "Yes, Jesus is the most powerful person in the world." And the father and I are sitting next to each other. We are not looking at each other. I'm like, I am not going to turn that way. And he kept professing Jesus is the most powerful person in the world. And this boy was confused. Like, I don't know about Jesus. And Noah's like, well, he's the most powerful person in the world. As six-year-olds do, they moved on to the next conversation. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment. And he said, this is how bold you need to be. He didn't care I was there. He was too far away. Honestly, I wanted to pull him back and just put him. But he was too far away for me to do that. But from the mouths of babes, God speaks. So if God can use my six-year-old to, you know, a seed was planted in that boy's, whether he went home and asked his dad, who is Jesus? I don't know. But a seed was planted. So you and I, as long as you're born again, and if you're not born again, at the end of service, I invite you to come forward. If you're born again, you hear the voice of God. So God is a spirit, and he communicates with us at that level. So if whatever situation you're facing, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, number one, ask God how to pray about the situation. Sometimes I've jumped forward and prayed a certain way, which is not even the way God wants you to pray. The example I gave of my friend, it doesn't make sense to say, think of good things about your marriage. I would want to sit him down and say, hey, this is not working. Can we work this out? Can we move forward? Can we do this? But that's the natural strategy that would have made sense. But God gave her a different strategy of you take stock of your thoughts. You start thinking what you want to see and start speaking that marriage into existence. And that marriage that she had longed for came to pass. So first thing, ask God, how should I pray? Just because it worked last time doesn't mean it's going to work this time. It might. It might give you exactly the same strategy. But we need to ask God how to pray. And after he's told you how to pray, look for scripture that supports the promise of the things that you're standing on. And then hold firmly to that without wavering. That's the hard part. You know, the good fight of faith, this is how I see it. From the moment you say amen, from the moment you've spoken to those dry bones, to the moment of manifestation, that moment, that period in between, that's where the good fight of faith is fought. I've discovered that discouragement, hopelessness, and despair normally set in when we start to lean on our own sight, which takes me to my second point. To fight the good fight of faith, we should not waver from God's strategy. So once God has said it. That settles it. We are starting from a winning point. We know the end of the story. We already have that victory. But once we have that strategy from God, we stand on it. Last time I shared about when Gilbert moved from his job when I was 7 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant, he sensed in his spirit God say it was time to move on. And he left a full-time job to go into a part-time job. That was only a 3-month contract. And I was going to be stopping work. And, you know, we had Ethan coming on the way. He spoke a few years later to his hiring manager at the time. And she said to him, Gilbert, I thought you were silly to leave security and want to come to a position that wasn't stable. And she even had conversations with another boss saying, she was concerned that he was making a mistake and she didn't want to be part of that. And the other person's like, well, that's his life. Let him do it. It's all worked out. But in that moment, he had his conviction to say, this is the direction that God is leading you. So what has God spoken into your life that you've begun to waver? Have you ever been sure that you've heard from God? Like after that amazing worship, God spoke to some of us certain things. And then you walk out those doors, you're like, was that God? Really? I've done that. You know, you start questioning. So praying or, you know, getting a word from God, that is not the end of working out our victory. That is actually the beginning. Because that gives us a roadmap of where we need to go. So the good fight of faith is fought between the amen and the fulfillment of the promise. The time in between is when most people give up, is when most people begin to question even the existence of God. People begin to question their own faith. People begin to question, was that God or was that, you know, nice feely goosebumps? Was that emotion? In this room right now, there are promises that are still to be fulfilled. In this room right now, there are businesses that are waiting to be started. In this room right now, there are marriages to come. There are children to be born. There are PhDs to be completed. There are better jobs to be started. There is healing to be received. There's houses to be built. There is a nation. There's a world to be changed in this room. And I know God has spoken some of those things into our lives. In James 2, 20 to 24, it reads, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Do you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to the right of God by what we do, not by faith alone. The good fight of faith involves taking action. Action to back up the promises of God. Action to back up what we are praying for. To receive Isaac, Abraham did not consider his own body. That he was almost 100 years old, his wife 90. And God spoke to him that he was going to have a child. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He stayed strong in faith and was truly persuaded that what God had promised, he would perform. So what things has God spoken to you that you have begun to doubt? You're looking at the natural. Maybe you're looking, it looks like that deadness of Sarah's womb right now. You're like, God, that is impossible. What things has God spoken to you in the natural? They don't make sense, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you heard God. What dry bone situation did you speak to last week? But now you're looking back at that same situation and you're already doubting. When God speaks to you and I, we need to hold on to that word. His word needs to be the final authority in our lives. What is the report of God for that situation that you're in? What does God say? And if you don't know, ask. If you need help, there's praying people in this church. Look to the person next to you. That is a praying person. The other side, that is a praying person. That is what church is for. We stand together. We grow together. We push together till we get to the end. You know, Alice, she shared her testimony when she had TJ. One of the things she believed for was a supernatural childbirth. And she believed, she's like, you know what? I don't want any pain in my childbirth. And she stood on that word. She's like, this is what I'm going to do. Most people, when you speak to them, you're like, I'm having a baby. They're like, ooh, how are you going to go? Or when you've just had a baby, they're like, oh, so how was labor? Was it painful? And people can project their fears. And she stood on that word. And I had the privilege of being with her when she had the baby. She had no pain. I was the one crying when she was having that child. I was the one seriously crying. She had that child. In talking to her afterwards, I said, Alice, how did you hold on to your faith? And she said she blocked out. People she knew were negative, she just blocked them out of her life. She's like, I don't want to hear that. And on the day, she said, I did feel pain once. It was when the doctor said she was close. She was really close to the end. And then in the night, she's like, oh my goodness, that's going to be painful. She said the moment she had that thought, pain came. And she's like, oh my gosh, that was the worst pain she'd felt. But she went back. She's like, God, I'm sorry, I'm believing. And she said the moment she switched her thoughts back to believing for a supernatural childbirth, the pain went away. So another thing Abraham and Sarah did, they spoke their faith and not the natural situation. They called each other father of many nations. Imagine how it would have seemed. They just changed their names, people that have known them, from Abraham to Sarai. They're like, oh, call me Abraham. They're like, that's father of many nations. Why? God told me. Imagine that. But you're 100 years old, father of many nations. But they spoke that every day. So when they would speak, it would be like, father of many nations, come, let's have dinner. Yes, mother of many nations, I'm coming, let's have dinner. How was your day, father of many nations? My day was amazing, mother of many nations. They kept speaking. I don't know how many times they would have called each other's name throughout the day. So faith without works is dead. We need to back up whatever it is we're believing for with the word of God. Find scripture that supports whatever it is that you're believing for. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat his fruit. For some of us, we've been saying death words. We have been saying what the devil has been whispering into our minds, into our ears. He's saying to some of us right now that your life can't change. This is the best. This is it. This is what your life will be. That is a lie. You are not stuck in a rut. You will amount to so much more than what you are today. God says, all things are possible to whom who believes. You don't have to do, you have to believe. That's how you receive from the word of God. You believe. And when do you believe? You believe when you pray. You don't believe when you're holding it. Because once you're holding it, it's not faith. It's reality. It's natural. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So when you pray, believe at that moment. That is the point that God answers your prayer. And the time in between is just taking its while, making its way, until you're holding it tangibly. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you and I are limited to our five senses, five physical senses, we will lead a frustrated, disappointed life. To be carnal equals death. Carnal means just natural senses. So if you make decisions based just on what you see, what you feel, what you hear, what you smell, what you touch, your life is not going to amount to much. Because what you see, what you feel, what you touch, what you hear, what you sense changes minute to second to hour. You'll be all over there. Look at the weather. Yesterday was hot. Today we're in light jumpers. Tomorrow I don't know what the weather will be. But if we are bound by the natural things, if you've been reading the news on the property market, you will not buy. But if God has spoken the word to you, say, I want you to buy in 2018, you follow that word. You do not follow that headline that telling you that the property market is going to crash. So any action that is contrary to the report of God concerning your situation is carnal. Any action. Doesn't matter who it's coming from. It could be coming from your best friend. It could be coming from your husband. It could be coming from anyone. If what they're saying is opposite to what God has told you, it is carnal. That's why it says in the word of God to test the spirits. Test the spirits. And that's a responsibility. That is part of fighting that good fight of faith. You need to test. You need to sieve every thought that comes into your mind, every word that comes your way. You need to sieve it and say, is this aligning with what God has spoken into my life? So when you say, I can't, you're choosing to be on the devil's side. You're allowing his lies to dominate you, and you're discounting yourself from what God has fully equipped you to achieve or to overcome. But when you stand your ground and say, in Christ Jesus, all things are possible for me, you are headed for victory. When God later asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac, the promise that God has given him, the promise of how he was going to be father of many nations, God then says, I want that sacrifice. Abraham was obedient. He did not waver. You know why? He knew somehow, however way God was going to do it, he was going to be father of many nations. He knew that God would keep his promises, and his actions matched his faith. He went there until another instruction came. So that's the other thing about, you know, fighting the good fight of faith. Don't just rely on the instruction that you got yesterday. Imagine if Abraham had just said, God's told me to go and sacrifice Isaac. And then he didn't spend time waiting on God when God says, actually, he's a ram that you can sacrifice. Sometimes we are derailed by having a stale word from God. We are relying on that word. We haven't gone back to say, God, what are you now saying about that situation? It says he orders our steps. It orders us. So you know, when you're driving at night, you can only see maybe 10 meters ahead. Imagine if we're driving, you're like, oh, but I need to see the next 100 meters. You wouldn't drive. So I can see the next 10 meters. But when I drive into those 10 meters, I can see the next 10 meters. And as I keep driving, I can see the next, until I get to my destination. And that is the same when we hear from God. He will give you an instruction. And then when we obey that one, we ask for the next instruction. It could be keep going, keep doing what you're doing. Or like Abraham, it could be completely opposite and say, now I want you to turn around and there's a ram in the bush. So you and I need to be single-minded, and we need to hold on to the faith to fight that good fight of faith. In James 1, verse 8, it reads, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In the New Living Translation, it says, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So if you and I are not single-minded, nothing we do will be stable. So right now, just have a think, what area are you experiencing instability? And if you dig deeper, you'll find that you're going maybe between one or two or three or four more choices. Or maybe one day I should do this. Tomorrow I'll do this. A few years ago, I was praying and seeking God for the direction of my life. And he spoke to me clearly about me as Tawana, his daughter, about my role as a wife, my role as a mother, my role, my career, my ministry, my finances. And the word that he gave me massive dreams. They were untouchable for me at that moment. And then at the end of that, he said, for you to walk in all these things I've called you to, you need to put your house in order now. Like, put my house in order. What does that mean? So I started to wait on God. What does that mean? And he, like, some of the big things he spoke about was how I was going to lead successful teams, about how God would equip me to manage large finances, about how you would equip me for both the corporate world and the ministry. And he spoke to me about the discipline of studying the word, how learning how to be spirit-led, learning how to manage my finances properly, how to submit to leadership, even when my flesh doesn't want to submit to leadership. You know, putting my house in order was hard. The reality, one of the big reality checks for us, Gilbert and I, we sat down and for the first time looked at our finances. It was a shock to our system. Like, oh my God, this is where we are. But the instruction God gave us through me was put your house in order. So slowly started to make the tweaks that he was asking me to do in our finances, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my studying the word, in those disciplines. God gave me a plan to follow, and I started to see small wins. I started to experience small wins. Those wins became bigger and bigger. Sometimes I would fall, but I'd always reset and go back to the instructions that he had given me. And today those disciplines are now part of my lifestyle. I don't even have to think about it. It's just what I do. It's who I've become. This year alone, I've won 3 awards on leadership excellence. And one of them was a team award. The word God spoke to me before was that I would lead successful teams. People come to me. I have people calling me at work, like, how are you leading your teams? And honestly, it's things I did years ago. The strategies God taught me on how to lead teams. When he said I needed to submit to leadership, he submitted me to some really intense leadership that was not nice. And God has said to me, I'm teaching you how not to treat people by being under that leadership. He put me under some amazing people. And he said, I am teaching you how to lead people. And so a combination of my life of what not to do, what to do, is what God has rewarded me for this year. So being single-minded, the thing for me, when I would fall, it was always put your house in order. Put your house in order. Today, like the finance thing, I told you our finances were a mess. Today I manage my department's finances and they are big finances. But I had to be faithful in the little. I had to be faithful in my tithing. When I would look at everything, would be like, oh, let's tithe. Before, one of the things God specifically spoke was about our tithing. We would tithe, but it was never at the start. This is for me, okay? This is what God spoke to us. This is for me and my household thing. So there's no conviction, no condemnation. For us, he spoke to us and said, the very first thing, money going out of your account, should be going to my tithing. And he said, by doing it that way, you're giving the first of your produce. You're doing the first part. And you know, that simple instruction of changing when we sometimes we tithe in the middle, sometimes we tithe at the end, sometimes like, oh my goodness, we forgot to tithe. Just moving it to the start was the beginning of us getting our house in order. So what is it that you need to do today to get your house in order? So being double-minded is operating in faith and fear at the same time. It's when you have a just in case what God says doesn't come to pass. I will do this. That means you're being double-minded. If you have a plan B for what God has said, that is being double-minded. Being single-minded is having the one plan that God has told you and sticking with it, even when it does not make sense in the natural. Abraham and Sarah, you shall be father of many nations, mother of many nations. I'm not that apt in the medical field, but I don't know if there's anyone to date who's had a child at that age. I don't think so. But when God says the word, it bypasses all other natural laws. So being single-minded takes time. It takes discipline. It takes perseverance. It takes being spirit-led. And I'll tell you now, it is not easy. That is why we have to fight that good fight of faith. So today I'm here to encourage all of us that whatever fight, that good fight that you're fighting, do not give up just because it's hard. Do not give up now. You might be so close to getting that victory. There's a saying that says it's darkest before dawn. Usually when things are raging, you're so close to that victory. Some of the hindrances that we face to being single-minded are lies from the devil, deception, or even complacency. You know, with my journey of putting my house in order, like I said, I would go back and forth. I'd get it right, then I'd regress, then I'd get it right, regress. But after a while of that back and forth, it became something that's now part of my lifestyle. Or even not being full of faith. You know, God will give you a word and you discount yourself straight away. You're like, that is not me. God, I used to, like someone like Pastor Mela would say to me, you will speak the word. I'm like, never. Like, I'm not going to speak the word. I don't want to speak the word. I don't have a desire to speak the word. And I would rebuke it. For years, I did it. I've since. What is it that you're rebuking out of your life that is actually the plan of God for you? God is patient and gracious. He'll wait for you to come. But think of how much more you and I can accomplish if we just align with His word as soon as we can and move forward. So how do you become single-minded? Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9. It starts in our mind. It starts in our mind. What are you thinking on? Are you thinking on good things? Are you thinking on bad things? Are your thoughts encouraging you or they're discouraging you? So if they are whatever is happening in your thought life, if it is not making you want to propel more to what God has called you to, those are not good thoughts. Those are not good thoughts. It takes time and training for us to learn to use the skills and tools that God has given us. So a daily audit of our thought life is the first thing. That's whatever we do starts in our thoughts. When we start to waver, when we start to have faith, when we start, it always starts in our thoughts. So just a daily habit of, at the end of the day, just look at your thoughts. Have they been good thoughts? If they haven't, repent straight away and say, God, tomorrow I reset. I am going to focus on those good thoughts. The second thing in being single-minded is just spending time daily reading the Word of God. That is such a simple thing, but that is probably one of the most powerful things you and I can do. We learn what God's Word says. We learn what He has spoken. We learn about these great stories of faith, of, you know, the faith heroes. And through the Word, God will speak to you word that is relevant to you in that moment. And the third thing is, ask the Holy Spirit about what He says about your situation. There's always a natural report, but there's always God's report. Always God's report. And the third thing in fighting the good fight of faith. So the first thing I said is you need to find out what God says about your situation. The second thing was do not waver from whatever it is that He tells you. And the third thing is do not allow fear or negative emotions to set in. Do not. They will come, but do not allow them to set in. Like I said with Alice's testimony, she said the moment she thought pain would come, pain came. And the moment she thought, no, I don't want pain, pain left. So what situation are you facing that you feel discouragement, that you feel fear, that you feel like hopelessness has set in? I want you to trace back. Why are you having those thoughts? It will come down to a thought. It will come down to some words someone's spoken. It will come down to just negative self-worth of who you are. It will come down to something that is negative. God's report meditated on produces courage, produces faith, produces hope. So if when you look at your dry bone situation, and there's no faith, there's no courage, there's no love coming through, that you're meditating on the wrong report. I'll just get Ellen to come up. We're just going to do an illustration. So this is what happens. So Ellen is going to pray. She's going to pray a prayer, like we all do. We pray to our God.
Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you this morning. Lord, I haven't paid my rent for 2 weeks now. My electricity bills are piling up. I've received a letter from the real estate, oh God. I don't know what to do. I'm so confused, Lord. I haven't got a job for the past 1 month. But I want to thank you this morning, Lord. I go back to your word that says, according to Philippians 4:19, that you will supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. Lord, I stand upon your word. I believe it, Lord. I know you will never fail me, oh God. And I thank you for answering. In Jesus' name, amen.
So after Ellen prays, the devil comes. It's like, oh, Ellen, hi. Look at this beautiful table. Have a seat. Let's have a talk. So I heard you praying about your rent and about the letter from the real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you believe the word of God?
Oh.
What about what you did last week, you know, that thing you don't want to tell anybody? Do you think you're worthy to even ask God to come for you? Here. Have some self-pity.
Oh, God.
Let's have some self-pity together.
Yeah. I've been praying and nothing seems to happen.
Yeah.
Is God really there? Does He really hear me?
Of course He doesn't.
Oh,
That stuff doesn't work anymore, Ellen. That is stuff of the Old Testament. Here, let's have some unworthiness. Let's have self-doubt.
God, I'm just so useless.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
What am I going to do?
Don't even go to church this Sunday. They just want your money. They're going to ask you to tithe, but you don't even have money for your rent.
God, is that true? Wait a minute. My God said he will supply all my needs. Yeah. And that is what he's going to do. I see that things are going the wrong way, but I still trust God. I know
But Ellen, self-pity. Yeah, self-pity.
No, I trust God. And God has done it before. He's done bigger things.
Okay. I don't want to hear it.
He's going to do that.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Let's clap hands for Ellen. You know what? That is exactly what happens. What the enemy does, he sets a beautiful table. And he invites you to sit at his table. It looks so attractive. It's pretty. And what he says, he entices you. He comes in and he's like, did God say that? He would start to bring condemnation. What about that stuff that you did last week? What about this? He will give you excuses not to follow the word of God. But if you read Psalm 23. It says in verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by my anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So what the enemy does, he prepares a counterfeit table for you. He prepares a table where there's doubt, where there's unbelief, where there's depression, where it's all about you. He makes you internalize things. But the word of God says, come boldly to the throne room. Do you know what coming boldly to the throne room is? It's bursting through those doors coming. You don't even care who's looking at you. Like what she did. She came back. She's like, no. My God says he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. That is why it is good for you and I to know the word of God. When the enemy was tempted, he didn't come back with clever things. Jesus just spoke the word. That's all he did. He just spoke the word back to the enemy. So what word, whatever word is in you, that is your weapon to fight the good fight of faith. That is my weapon to fight that good fight of faith. I just want to take a few moments where you just have a conversation with the Holy Spirit right now. That situation that is before you, that situation that is causing some of our sleepless nights, that situation that you've discounted yourself, those words that have been spoken to you to say that you are going to go into the world and do great things, but you do not believe those words. Let's have a conversation with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, number one, show me the lies of the enemy. Show me the lies that I have been believing concerning that situation. The second thing I would like you to do is ask the Holy Spirit what he says about that situation. What is his word concerning that situation? The third thing, you know, this is something I do at home. It doesn't take me a few minutes. It takes me a while. Sometimes it takes me hours. Sometimes it takes me days to even go through these steps. The third thing you should ask him right now, you say, Holy Spirit, give me scripture. Give me a verse that supports your word, that supports your report concerning my situation. I'll just get the worship team up. You know, I'm just going to be really, really honest with you, Gilbert. I'm sorry. I didn't ask for your permission. You know, when Gilbert and I sat down and we did our finances, we are two accountants, so have that in mind. We sat down. We calculated everything that we owed. Some of it was good things done wrong, like we helped family with things and, you know, we calculated and we owed $90,000. This is 6 years ago. You know, I sat down and I'm like, how is that even possible? So that was cars. We had leased. Pastor Tony had told us many times, don't lease cars. Do not lease cars. We sat down. Do you know, I felt shame. I felt embarrassed. And the promise God had given me was I was going to handle large finances. And I'm not bragging. I do have a budget that's huge now. But God started dealing with us about our tithing. That is such a simple thing. But in being faithful in that, we've come out of that. And I'm so, we are now in a better position. We are not $90,000 in debt. And I thank God. If you ask us, how have we paid that off? I don't know. But what did we do? We followed the instructions that God has given us. That situation for us was impossible. That situation for us was the end of the world. I'm like, how? How? With all these things you want us to do, how? But you know what? In being obedient, there's times when God has said, I want you to give a couple thousand dollars to this person. And we've been able to do that. Do you know why? Because we followed the instructions that God had given us. We put our house in order. So this morning, what is it that you need to put in order in your house? What is it that you need to put in order in your house? What situation in your life are you being double-minded and you're not being single-minded about it? And like what Ellen so powerfully showed, what does the Word of God say about that situation? I invite you to come to your feet.